So good to see you here today. Glad you've come out to be a part of this time, a gathering of the body together. And we'll make sure that you know that Ms. Okiri is going to be going back to Nigeria this next week. So be sure and speak to her today and give her greetings and thank God that Lord let her bring Dr. O'Carey into the world. He's a blessing to us. Right, I love you. Been keeping up with your government and the economy this week. Got a text from a friend of mine. He was out of pocket and he wasn't able to get any news outlets. He texted me the other day. He says, "Has the stock market crashed yet?" And we need to be praying for our government, praying for our country, praying for the world right now. Never been a time like it is today, right now, in the earth. Never. There's been never anything like this that is going on today. The connection all throughout the world, things are going on, and it's a time to be on your face before God, seeking Him and asking Him to speak to you, speak to our president, speak to our Congress, that they would turn to the Lord. You know, I keep that prayer that I'd like to see at a joint session of Congress with the Supreme Court president, everybody, cabinet, everybody in there, for the Spirit of God just to just come in that place. And be like at the bowling alley, you know, and just that's right. And for him to get everybody's attention right now, those who are in leadership over us right now, there's never been a time when they need your prayers more than they need your prayers right now, to be going before the Lord. You can't complain if you can't pray. So you got to pray. If you're going to criticize, if you're going to say this or that, whichever side. Right now, I don't know about sides. I'm interested in this side because we need to hear from him. I want to read a very brief passage of Scripture to you from 1 Kings chapter 10. If you have your Bible, you can turn and I want to read this story to you. And this story is about the Queen of Sheba. Now you're going to have to listen fast today. Verse 1. Now when the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. Put it up there for me, John. The map. All right. Now I want you to look at this map. This is a map of the modern-day Middle East. And you can see Israel right there in the middle. That's where Solomon was. Accounts say, and it's differing from historical accounts, of where Queen of Sheba was actually the queen of the Sabaeans, which is down in Yemen, possibly, way down the Arabian Peninsula there, off the Red Sea, thank you, John, or from Ethiopia. Now, I want you to see how far she had to come with her entourage. Okay? She came a long way. Let me read again. Now, when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon, who was Solomon? He was king of Israel. The last king of a united kingdom, and the kingdom stretched very far at that time, on up into to where Syria and Turkey, on over into Iraq, down to Saudi Arabia, down into the Negev in the south. In fact, when they start talking about borders, let's go back to the original borders. Those are the borders I'd like to go back to for Israel. You know, if you want to talk about original borders, let's go back to those borders and restore the kingdom. Anyway, they're not going to do that. But Now the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him with difficult questions. Now who was Solomon? King of Israel, the wisest man up to that time that had ever lived. People came from far and wide for his wisdom. She comes to test him with hard questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large retinue. If you have the NASB, that's her caravan. That's all her servants, all her stuff, all her entourage, those that were protecting her, everything. With camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. That's literally what the scripture says. All that was in her heart. Solomon answered all of her questions. Now let's stop there just for a moment. What if someone could answer every single one of your hard questions today? Would you travel a long way to hear that? Now, this is what the Bible says. He answered all of them. Nothing was hidden from the king. Now, who was revealing it to him? The Lord, which he did not explain to her. When the Queen Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, talking about the temple, all that was built there, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters, their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was drained. Completely. She had it all answered. It was all laid out to her, and there the splendor of how God had blessed Solomon was spread out before such that she had nothing else to say. There was nothing else boiling up within her. You got it? You got the picture? Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told me." Even the reports she thought that were exaggerated, she said, I didn't even have half of it told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are those your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. What a blessing just to be there is what she's saying. Blessed, verse 9 now, get this. This is a pagan queen from another country. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. She recognizes the truth she has seen and the one true God. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She gave the king 120 talents of gold. Anybody know how much that was? Some of you that have those study Bibles. It's 4.5 tons. I didn't stutter. 4.5 tons. How much is a ton? 2,000 pounds? 8,000? 9,000 pounds of gold. She brought all that distance. That's not all she brought. And a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon. Now I bet you In your history courses that you took in school, you never studied anything about Solomon's kingdom, anything about that, did you? The history redactors are out there. They've redone history. Not even telling the truth about history, about what has happened. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the Queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And also the ships of Hiram, which brought gold from Ophir, brought in from Ophir a great number of almug trees and precious stones. And the king made of the almug trees supports for the house of the Lord and for the king's house. Also lyres and harps for the singers. And such almug trees have not come in again, nor have they been seen to this day. And King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all her desire, which she requested. So, not only did she come giving, it was very much back in that day when you came, when you as royalty, you came to another country, you came bearing gifts. And the more gifts you had, it showed how big you were, how powerful you were. So she's making a splash here. But she also expected a reciprocity, a reciprocal, a return. King Solomon gave to the Queen of Sheba all her desire, which she requested, besides what he gave her according to his royal bounty. So he'd already given her according to his royal bounty. Now, if you're going to be given something according to someone's bank account, whose bank account would you want? Yours or King Solomon's? Okay, you got it? You got the picture? Then, key verse here, then she turned and went to her own land together with her servants. Now, why did I read that passage of Scripture to you today? Well, if I'd given this a title in these brief moments we have together, I'd give the title, The Day the Queen of Sheba Met God. Now, I think this story has a sad ending, because there's nothing in the story that records that she turned to the Lord. Nothing. I want you to see, she came prepared to give a lot of gifts and to receive. But she wasn't prepared to receive all that she got when she got there. She received a lot more than she could ever imagine. Wisdom, answers to life's questions. She was following, and some of us asked, why did she come? Why did she make the visit? I believe she was following the leadership of the Lord. I believe God led her there. God brought her there. Captive audience. Now, I know you've probably seen several movies about Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Supposedly, they have this affair. Let me tell you. The Scripture doesn't hide anything. If there'd have been some kind of connection there, because it tells all the rest about the things that go on with the king, it would have said that. There's nothing like that. And I know there's a legend down in Ethiopia that supposedly she came back and the offspring that she bore for Solomon became the king of Ethiopia. That's just a bunch of stuff. There's no foundation for that. She heard the Word of God. And what did she do with it? God brought her right in with a front row seat. And He maxed out every revelation that she could ever even imagine having. Answering her questions. He was there with her. And what does she do? She takes the gifts that were given to her by Solomon and she goes back home. Now, here's the reason why I share this passage with you today. There are many people in our country, and particularly in the church, that have done the same thing. They've come right into the very throne room of God. God's revealed to them things like you couldn't even imagine the things. God's revealed Himself. And then we turn around and go back to our previous life. Jesus would experience the same feeling when He would be performing miracles as He walked through the streets of Galilee and of Judea in His day, and even in Samaria, walking through the places. And great miracles were done, and God did wonderful things. God blessed people, healed them. the great draw of people. And yet some of those same people, when He is taken to the cross, are the ones that are shouting out, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." You think about it. What has God already revealed to you? Do you need more evidence? Really? You must have a short memory. For many of us today, if we think we need more evidence, God has revealed His heart. What did it say there? And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king which he did not explain. God is drawing us to Himself. He is calling His church today to rise up and really be the people of God. You can't come to the throne room and have that kind of revelation and go back and be the same and wallow in the same garbage and go back to the same life that keeps God at a distance. He's drawing us. And in these days, He's drawing us to Himself. So many Christians in the West are playing around the edges with God. I'll participate in what God wants me to do. I'll get a fix occasionally, but only when it's convenient for me. Well, let me tell you, it's a very inconvenient time right now in the life of this world. And it's time
for us to stay with him.
What would have been the preferred outcome to that story? Oh, to have read the next verse, and the Queen of Sheba gave her heart completely to the Lord, and her whole entourage was changed, and they went back to the Sabaeans, and the good news went forth throughout the Arabian Peninsula and on into northern Africa, and it spread and it spread. There you go. There's a preferred outcome. How about that one? Cecil B. DeMille couldn't have trumped that card with imagination. What about it? What about you? What are you going to return to today? Has God spoken to you today? Through the children? Through our worship time? Great worship time today. Through His Word. What is He saying to you? They had all the stuff. Queen of Sheba, Solomon. Yet what was most important? To hear from God. What's He saying to you? Let's bow our heads. We open the altar now. If God's speaking to you today, you'd like to come and pray. You'd like to pray with one of our pastors, one of our life group leaders, people will be around here to pray with. The altar's open. You've never received Jesus in your life. Today's the day. Maybe you just need to spend some quiet time before the Lord. Saying, tell Him how much you love Him. I hope you're hearing me say today, our hope, our joy is in Him. Lord, thank You for Your presence here today. Thank You that You love us so much that You gave Your only Son, that He arose on the third day, and He has sent to us His Holy Spirit, who is here right now, wooing us, moving us to not return to business as usual. Lord, speak to me. Speak to us. The altar's open. This little fellow standing next to me, many of you know him, Tim Snyder. He and his family were part of our fellowship for a long time. We've sent him into a foreign land. And the girls are here. His mom is here. And we bless them. God bless y'all. Tim's in town visiting his mom. They live in Vermont now. And God's doing some great things in his life. And I just want him to share a couple minutes of that with you today.
Hello, everybody. It's great to see so many old friends and faces from time going by, and so many new faces, too. That's awesome. I just called Dusty and wanted to let him know and let you know everything that's going on as God has led us to Vermont. Many of you know, and for those of you who don't, I'm an anesthesiologist assistant. I worked here in town for a long time and started to travel. This was in 2006, 5 years ago. We sold our house here, loaded up, and lived in a camper. And we traveled between Vermont and Georgia. And I worked at different hospitals. Well, God was leading me somewhere, and that started in this very fellowship whenever we came to it back in 1995. And He planted the seeds that have now been growing all of this time. And the first year we were traveling, amazingly, my wife said, well, where are we going to go? I said, I don't know. My first assignment was all the way to Brunswick, Georgia. I was like, okay, we're going to see a lot of the world this way. The second assignment was the key. We went to Bennington, Vermont. Prior to this, about a year and a half, I read an article in the Christian Index, a Georgia Baptist publication here, that stated that Vermont was the second least church state in the country. By the way, they've gone all the way to number 50 now. They're the least church state in the country. But along that lines, my wife made the statement, wouldn't that be something if we'd end up in Vermont? And I said, you're out of your mind. We grew up in Pennsylvania. We know what Northeast winters are like. There's no way we're going to New England, of all places. Well, God has a sense of humor. We now live 3 miles from the Vermont line in upstate New York, but everything we do is across into Vermont. And after that first assignment, we ended up living in a little town called Arlington in our RV when I was working up there, and I was up there the whole time the RV parks were open. So we were there 9 months of the year. It turns out I was going to get a job there. That wasn't to happen. The hospital fell on bad financial times. All positions and hirings were frozen for a while. But by this point, we had bought a house, and I still had to travel. So it was like, what's going on here, Lord? I would fly to Georgia to work for a month at a time, fly back up to Vermont, work there when I could. And lo and behold, I went to a small Baptist church in Bennington, North Bennington actually, Capstone Baptist, on a Sunday evening for a prayer service. And he announced the prayer requests for that night. One of them was that he was praying for a man to come who was ready to plant a church in Arlington, Vermont. Well, the Lord spoke to me right away. Well, guess what? That's what you're supposed to be doing. I knew from that moment. I said to him, I think God has brought the person here, and that's me. We started talking. Within 3 days, the head of the OR came to me and said, I put your name before the CEO and the director of human resources. If you still want a full-time job, you have it. There was still a hiring freeze. They still weren't out of their financial difficulties, but I had a full-time job that would keep me there. It would be hard to start a church if you're not there a month at a time. So this was a year ago. In the past year, we have started a Bible study. We're seeing that slowly grow. This past July was awesome. There's a partnership with, mainly with North Carolina and Vermont, where teams come up every summer to do construction projects. They come up and they do VBS, they do backyard Bible clubs. Well, this year was awesome. This was our first summer to really get involved with that in Arlington. We had a family fun day on July 2nd, and the Green Mountain Baptist Association has a ministry trailer that we can use. It has all kinds of things, a 53-foot inflatable obstacle course, all kinds of food concessions, all kinds of games. We had that there. We didn't know if we were going to have anybody show up. We had over 250 to 300 people show up. A lot of kids. And then we told them about what we were doing the end of the month. We had a team from North Carolina come up 3 weeks ago to do VBS for us. We had not big numbers like we heard earlier, but we had a big impact on the Arlington area. 2 weeks ago, we had a team come from Louisiana, had a backyard Bible club. Again, not huge numbers. We're talking 10, 12 kids a night. But it was an impact, a big impact. We're seeing these kids get impacted for God. We had one profession of faith when one little girl. It was awesome to see how these kids hung on every word. You have to realize, Vermont isn't like Savannah, Georgia. The people don't approach things the same way. You know, you get people to come to something, it's establishing a relationship with them first. You have to establish a friendship. You have to meet them where they're at. You have to tell them what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, and they want to hear it over. And they don't trust you or believe you one little bit. Well, we're gradually winning the people over because God is in charge. Our God is in charge. And He is opening people's eyes, opening people's minds, opening their hearts and their ears to the Word of God. They're hearing it. They're seeing it. They're listening to it. And He is touching them. We have a lot of things happening in Vermont. And we have started with a Bible study every week. It's growing, steadily growing. Eventually, we're going to start Sunday services when we get to that point of a core group. In the meantime, we're in the process of starting a children's outreach that we're going to do weekly. It's just amazing to see how the kids are opening up, looking at it, taking it in like a sponge. Then the parents want to know what's going on. They come to us. You know, my kids are different. What are you doing? And they like it. They see it. They accept it. It grows. You don't see it happening fast, but you're persistent and you see it happen.
That's right.
And I am praying that the people here in Savannah that I've known so long and are so special, that we can partner in prayer for what's going on in Vermont. Because it's just awesome to see. And it's awesome to see the faces here of everybody and see what's going on. And to be able to take that back with me, along with the encouragement. There's a lot happening. There were 17 teams that came this summer to help out with building projects, with VBS, with backyard Bible clubs. And they all came, guess where? From the South. I think the most northern team was from Maryland, but but most of them were from North Carolina over through to Louisiana. And we're seeing a great number of things happen there. And I just want to thank everybody here because I know a lot of people have been praying for us, and I wanted to update everybody on where things are at. And we are just having the time of our lives in Vermont. It's just awesome to see. And we're seeing growth there. To give you a little statistic to make it more relevant, there were 30 Southern Baptist churches in all of New England in 1970. There are now 303. 8 years ago, there were 17 Southern Baptist churches in Vermont. There are now 37. So we've seen 20 new churches start in Vermont, Southern Baptist churches, mind you, in the last 8 years. That's phenomenal growth within the churches because you're not seeing that anywhere else. So it's just awesome to see what God's doing, that He's opening the hearts and opening the minds of the people. And I thank all of you if you would keep us in prayer as we're venturing into that foreign mission field that God has put us into, known as Vermont.
Stay right here. Who would have thought that when we were baptizing Tim and Linda, and by the way, this fella, I've seen him, God physically healed him one afternoon. I mean, I just a tremendous, tremendous blessing. And who would have thought they'd be church planters today? We're going to anoint him and pray over him. If a couple of you want to come up here and pray over him. Girls, y'all come on up here. He's also looking for husbands for these three.
That's okay. Yeah.
Come on over here. Kate, Allie, y'all come on. These are some beautiful girls. We love them very much. Oh, Catherine now. Sorry. She used to call Miss Audrey God.
By the way, Linda said she has to find a God bag now with the children. That's a thing that goes back a long time.
Tim, we anoint you and your family. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we give great thanks, Lord, for the testimony we hear, what you have done. Lord, what it didn't say is that these girls have also gone all over the world sharing the good news of Jesus on mission teams. And we bless you for this family. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done in them. Now, God, I'm asking you that you would anoint them with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power to go forth into darkness and see the light of the gospel. Lord, for people's lives to change, I pray that you'd grant to Tim and Linda the men and women of peace wherever they go that will open doors so that this church may be planted by your power. We bless you and thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. God bless you all. Hope y'all will, those of you who don't know the Snyders, you'll introduce yourself today. As we go today, I'd also like for us to be in prayer for what's happening in Somalia. Stephen brought this to our attention earlier. Dane said something about this at the early service today. If something doesn't happen in Somalia right now, in the next few days, there's probably going to be about 60,000 children that are going to die. The drought there, there's going to be war, and all the things that have happened in that country have been terrible. And there could be a substantial number of their population, and if something doesn't happen over the next few months, many, many, many more people will perish. And so let's pray. And by the way, that is a place where, you know, Black Hawk Down, you know, that's where that took place. The Muslim stronghold on that place is awful. And it needs to be broken. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking you for your power to come, for your provision to come, for your protection to come for the people there that are suffering in Somalia, for the light of Christ to come forth with food, with help, with good news that there is a better way. Lord, now send us out as changed people to share Jesus with a lost and dying world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.